When America was a new nation, we went to war with Great Britain for a second time. It was the War of 1812. Ultimately, an incident in that war gave us our national anthem. In fact, we've already discussed that with historian and author Jane Hampton Cook in a previous discussion. Meanwhile, we want to talk with her more about the War of 1812. Recently, her website notes, Jane Hampton Cook received the 2026 Spirit of 1812 Award from the Daughters of the War of 1812 for her books and screenplays. Those books, by the way, include American Phoenix, about John Quincy and Louisa Adams, The Burning of the White House, James and Dolly Madison, and America's Star-Spangled Story, Francis Scott Key. She joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Jane, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it's great to be with you today.
And I'm sure Dolly Madison was quite a jolly person. So tell us about this this recent award. I think that sounds fantastic.
So the Daughters of the American Revolution, they're similar to the Daughters of the War of 1812 are similar to the Daughters of the American Revolution. And so it's a service organization where people have traced their genealogy, you know, back to the War of 1812. And so earlier this year, they approached me and they decided to give me the 2026 Spirit of 1812 Award. And that's because I've drawn attention to a war that a lot of people don't know about, but it was a really significant war. It sealed our independence. And we were taken seriously as a nation, an independent nation after that, by Europe and other places around the world.
And I think that would even include England, because it's almost as if England didn't. They just kind of, who's this little upstart? Even though, we did sign that Treaty of Paris in 1783. By the way, the Treaty of Paris, which was the official ending of the American War for Independence, the American Revolution, if you want to call it that, actually begins in the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity. So I do want to ask you this. Was there any aspect about God, other than what we've discussed previously about the national anthem, God and the War of 1812?
Well, you know, I think there was a focus just, you know, when I wrote about Dolly Madison and Louisa and John Quincy Adams, their personal faith comes out, because where something's authentic to a historical person, I try to bring it out, you know, especially if it's their faith. And, you know, John Quincy Adams signed a treaty that ended the War of 1812 on Christmas Eve. In 1814. And, you know, they really turned to their faith. And one of the ways that John Quincy and Louisa did that, they were in Russia and Europe during the War of 1812, and they were having trouble getting the Tsar of Russia's attention, because the way to do it back then was to spend a lot of money on balls and entertainment and big dinners, and they just couldn't do that. And what they found, though, is when they took a sincere interest in the church in Russia, showing up to, you know, services that the Tsar was hosting, that actually is what reached the Tsar. So it was the commonality of their Christian beliefs that actually opened the door for John Quincy to, you know, convince the Tsar of Russia, Emperor Alexander I, to openly support America. And why was that important? Well, because we weren't recognized on the world stage. You know, like you said, England may have signed that treaty to end the American Revolution, but they kept attacking us economically. Their policies were very detrimental to America. And so the end of the War of 1812 actually stopped a lot of that trade problems and the practice of impressment, which was the moral cause of the War of 1812. And that's when British sailors would kidnap American sailors and then force those Americans to serve in either the British Army or to put them in a prison or work a ship in South America. And so the war really was important because our citizenship wasn't being recognized by Britain on the open seas. And so that was a really important reason why we needed to solve that problem.
Okay, so let's, first of all, let's get an overview of the War of 1812. One of the things about it that's just unbelievable is that the enemy came on American soil and literally burned down the White House and burned down the U.S. Capitol. Other than that, I mean, that's just phenomenal. Nothing even remotely has been like that in American history, correct? Other than, you know, in the Civil War where we kind of did it to ourselves. Not even that we didn't even do.
Right. Yeah. So what happened is there was an Admiral George Coburn, British Admiral. He started harassing towns along the Maryland and Virginia waterways and was burning towns. And he really had it in his mind that he wanted to attack the Capitol. And when I read his letters, I was like, okay, he was the primary instigator. And so on August 24, 1814, he led the British military into Washington, D.C. after winning a battle against us in Maryland and Bladensburg. He came and he arrived around sunset and they burned the U.S. Capitol and they burned the White House. And so this was the 9/11 of the War of 1812. This turned people who had been, you know, neutral on the war to being passionate that we cannot let them take over our country. And the British thought that that would have given them an advantage at the peace table for us to be so severely weak by losing our buildings, the Capitol and the White House. But it turned out that most Europeans opposed Britain's decision to do that. They thought it was barbaric. And the sentiment in Europe turned against Britain. And so then they were more motivated to just end the War of 1812 and move on. And so it was, you know, it was very devastating for, you know, it took us 10 years to build those two buildings. And James and Dolly Madison had to rally the members of Congress to keep Washington, D.C. as the nation's capital because there was a lot of pressure to move it to Philadelphia, where it had been before, or New York, where it actually started. And so by the Madison saying, we are rebuilding in Washington, it was a symbol of, you know, it was a decision of strength and continuity that we were not going to let another country push us around. Otherwise, they could have gotten into the pattern. And once one capital burns, you move it over here. Someone's going to come burn that one. And so they stopped it by insisting that Washington, D.C. be rebuilt as it was.
And just to clarify, when you say that the White House and the Capitol building were built or rebuilt in 10 years. You're saying after they were burned by the British in that war, correct?
No, so the
or you're
first
saying
time
from
they
the beginning.
Were built,
oh, I see.
10 years.
Oh, yeah. I see. Oh, okay. I'm glad you clarified. Okay. So, let's back up even further. Okay. The ultimate catalyst issue for the War of 1812. Like, just we could say, okay, people say states' rights, but the ultimate catalyst issue for the Civil War was U.S. slavery. No question about it. Okay.
Right.
And
right.
In the case of the War of 1812, the basic gist of it was what you were referring to earlier, this practice of impressment, where basically, as I understand it, British naval ships would sometimes board American naval ships and maybe even just American ships in general. And then they would, if there were any British men that had been born in Britain, even if they were American citizens by choice, but if they had been British born, then they were prey for the British to say, okay, you're part of the British Navy. But wait a minute, I'm an American citizen. And the Americans protested and the British didn't respond, and then the practice continued until a boiling point. Is that the gist of it? And then who declared war and what happened then?
Yes, that is exactly right. These British ships would stop American ships. Now, sometimes they were taking, you know, even Americans that weren't born in England. When John Quincy and Louisa Adams in 1809 sailed to Russia, they were actually stopped by a British ship. And that captain tried to take a sailor off their ship. And so they witnessed it firsthand on their way to Russia. And they were in a merchant ship. They weren't in a military ship. So, yeah, it was affecting warships and, you know, commercial ships. And that's what started the war. And we declared war against England. James Madison turned to Congress, and Congress authorized the war in June of 1812. And that's why we call it the War of 1812, even though it lasted, you know, for 2 years. We call it that because we declared war on England, you know, through the U.S. Congress.
Okay, and when did this practice of impressment actually begin? Again, the official treaty of peace between America and England that ended the American War for Independence was in 1783. When did impressment begin as a practice?
So it began in kind of the middle part of George Washington's presidency.
Oh, so for quite a while then. So you're in the 1790s. You're talking about in the 1790s. And was there any incident where finally President Madison, now he's our fourth president, was there any incident where it's like, okay, that's it. If you guys aren't going to, you know, stop this, we're going to declare war.
Well, you know, you go to 1807 when there was an incident with the USS Chesapeake and the British ship, I think it was the Leopard. They had this big, you know, attack off the shores of Virginia. And so Thomas Jefferson was president. He tried to address the problem by just shutting down trade with England and France. And so that was called the embargo. And that made Jefferson unpopular in places like Boston, where they relied on shipping for their livelihoods. And when that didn't work, Madison comes in and realizes, you know, that the embargo didn't work like we thought. So they were trying to find another way to solve the problem. And ultimately, they couldn't. And that's why they declared war, because it got to the point where, because England and France went to war against each other through Napoleon, the British were justifying it in their minds of taking Americans because they needed men to fight Napoleon. That was one of their rationales. And so a lot of the Napoleonic policies, you know, Napoleon said, hey, if you're an American ship, you have to first, if you're coming to Europe to sell, you have to first dock in a French port. And then England said, no. If you're an American ship, you have to first dock in England before you can sell your goods in Europe. And you couldn't be in, you know, two places at first, you know, at the same time. And so you ended up with a lot of deception, people with false flags. You've probably heard that term. Well, that was literally hoisting somebody else's flag, you know, to get by some trade policy. And so, you know, there was a lot of corruption that happened because of these policies against America. The idea of sending the reason why President Madison sent John Quincy Adams to Russia is because Russia was the largest European country. And if we could get them to be openly our ally, then that would put a lot of pressure on England and France to leave us alone. So there was a real strategy, you know, to sending a diplomat to Russia during the War of 1812.
All right. And how about maybe 30 seconds or so talk about how some of the battle in the War of 1812 was fought on the Great Lakes?
That's right. So this is where you see, Detroit, you see the Great Lakes become very important because of our relationship with Canada. When we went to war against England, we were at war, you know, with Canadians. And so there was a lot of give and take about land and fishing rights and things like that, that the War of 1812 brought out. We tried to fight them on land, and we didn't do so well in Canada at first, but then we did better later in the war.
All right. And we have about a minute left. One incredible irony is that it's my understanding the war was finally officially over, but the word did not reach the people in New Orleans, and there was the Battle of New Orleans, and it was really kind of the last of the battles of the 1812 war. And in that, you know, Jackson was incredibly successful, and it really propelled him on the national stage, it would seem to me. Okay, 20 seconds to close on the War of 1812.
Yes. So, you know, Andrew Jackson was a war hero after defeating the British in New Orleans, because that prevented the British from taking over the rivers, right? That was the last straw. So, you know, I have a book called The Burning of the White House about James and Dolly Madison and the War of 1812. And then my American Phoenix book is The International Side of the War of 1812 with John Quincy and Louisa Adams.
All right. Thank you so much. JaneCook.com for more information. Thank you, Jane. All the best.
Thank you.